listening to Republic Broadcasting. That's at republicbroadcasting.org on the internet. And today is Saturday, November the 19th, 2022. I'm your host, Stephen Douglas Whitener, and this is the show Thought Crime Live, because just thinking these days can get you in trouble. They don't want you to think for yourself, and anyone who points out the truth, and they want to call us thought criminals. And I really am proud to be here on RBN. I appreciate the RBN audience and my colleagues and co-hosts here very much. It's a canary in the coal mine. We've heard of free speech very much so, that if this network was to go, then our whatever rights we had left would swiftly follow suit. It's been called that before, and I want to ask all the listeners, if you can, please support RBN. I call it Mr. Stadmiller's neighborhood a lot. I never had the opportunity to speak with John Stadmiller, but he started this, you know, and it's I'm really glad that it's still here. The listeners are spot on. You know, I really appreciate the fact that we have so many intelligent listeners out there that'll participate in this. And right now there is a book drive going on to support RBN to try to get us through to the other side of the holidays. And for every $100 donation or more, you have an opportunity to own one of the books that was in John Stadmiller's library. This week, the book is called Seeds of Fire, China and the Story Behind the Attack on America, written by Mr. Gordon Thomas. And if you're able to contribute to RBN, please do. I mean, we want to keep this going as much as possible. It's very rare to find a place these days where you can speak freely and not be censored and not be controlled by advertisers and the corporate governance that's coming after all of us. And I have the number this week as well. If you can do that, please call 1-800-724-2719. That is extension 3 to make the donation. That's 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And they can help you there. And also, you could go to the RBN website. There's a PayPal button and other ways to donate. And if you're a diehard thought criminal like myself, and you don't want to be tracked or traced by who you support and whatever, you can put cash in an envelope and mail it to RBN at Round Rock, Texas. And that helps. Every little bit helps. And having said that, thanks RBN listeners. And this week, once again, I'm joined by a colleague of mine, my mentor in all things radio and at Republic Broadcasting, the host of Beyond the Official Narrative, weekdays at noon, Mr. Richard Carey. And we have another guest that we're waiting to connect with. So, Richard, are you with me, sir?
I am, Stephen. Yes, yeah. Thank you for inviting me today. And I believe we have a message from Sam that we do have our guest ready on cue.
Terrific. Thank you. And joining Richard and myself this week is Mr. Ralph Epperson. Mr. Epperson, can you hear us, sir?
No, it's very soft. Your voice is very soft. It's hard to hear.
Okay. Is this better, sir? How about now? Am I coming in all right?
Yes. Now it's much better. Thank you.
Terrific. Thanks very much for joining us, sir. I let the audience know that when Richard and I, Richard had a show planned, we both were going to do this show 20 years to the day about Bill Cooper's assassination last year, actually on the day that Mr. Stadmiller died, and we were preempted by that tragic event. So as we were doing the show a year later about Mr. Cooper, you called in to us and told us about your associations with him. And yesterday, actually, on the roundtable, one of my colleagues, Mr. Dave Scorpio, said he had actually met you in person before as well. I've been reading your book, too. Let the listeners know that Mr. Epperson wrote a book called The Unseen Hand and some other ones as well. I have your website up here where it's let me read it off to the listeners. And it's just www.ralph-epperson.com, which goes to your Publius Press and all of your work, sir. Thank you very much for joining me.
No, it's my pleasure. I'm always looking for for an audience. I'm a teacher, and so I'll be pleased to discuss whatever you want to discuss today.
Well, thanks, sir. Thank you, sir. One thing I wanted to start off with was something that I learned yesterday from my co-host that said you had blown the whistle on a major money laundering operation back in the 90s. And having been a bit of a whistleblower myself, I wasn't aware of that part about your story until yesterday. Would you, and in lieu of that, you know, I wanted to ask you how you were had exposed this money laundering operation, and wanted to just get your opinion on what's going on with this FTX and how the money laundering is still going on to this day, even so much worse. Things are we've reached a point now where you're probably familiar with this FTX thing and the money that we supposedly gave to Ukraine to quote unquote fight their war. They ended up giving it back to the Democratic Party, and it's just like how the things just continue. Would you like to speak to that initially, sir?
Well, I think you're giving me credit for something that I don't think I've done. I don't remember ever exposing a money laundering account. I've been really writing books and making DVDs and doing talk shows and lecturing when that's appropriate. So I don't know. I don't quite know what this is. Bill Cooper might have said this or done it, but not me.
I'm not familiar with all the details, sir. I'm sorry, I got that incorrect. But
misheard something from David Scorpio yesterday. Maybe you mentioned another name.
Yeah, I apologize, sir. But I have been reading your book, The Unseen Hand, and that was written in 1985, published, I believe. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct, 85.
And what led you to want to write about this and expose the, I mean, it's a fascinating book talking about different forms of government. And then you go through a lot of the history of what brought us up to that point and how we had reached it. It's a great book, y'all. I haven't read it all yet, but it's very good, very detailed. What was it that prompted you to write and report about those things initially?
Well, I was a college graduate at University of Arizona, and I moved to Los Angeles for my first job after college, and I decided to join the Young Republicans. I was, 22 or something like that, and I walked in, and I met a guy named Jim, who later became a good friend. I didn't know him then. And he said, "What are you here for, Mr. Epperson?" I said, "I'm here to learn how to vote on which proposition and which governor." And he said, "No, you're not. You're here to read." And I said, "Well, I don't like to read. I'm educated. I'm just here to learn how to California." So he said, "No, read." And he gave me a book to read called None Dare Call It Treason. It was a big seller, 2 or 3 million copies. I picked that book up, and I was startled because here, all of these things were true, and they were going on while we were talking. And I decided I better get involved with this. And I've since read 1,600 books, titles, out of 156 conspiracy writers. Now, Anthony Sutton has written 10 books, but I count him as one. He's one of the 156. I've read their stuff, and I still believe I have written material that they have not yet covered. So I'm still doing research and developing information. I just had a birthday a couple of weeks ago. I'm 85, but I'm still alive and well, and I'm still functioning. So it's just that. That's what started. Once I found out what was going on, I had to get involved.
Well, happy birthday, sir. And yes, I'm familiar with that book. I'm happy with that book, None Dare Call It Treason. I believe that the Goldwater campaign gave a lot of those books out. I remember them from when I was quite young. Doesn't it detail a lot of the communist takeover of the churches in that? That's what I seem to remember about that, how they were being turned into 501c3s, and it was fitting right in with the planks of the Communist Manifesto. Is that accurate, sir?
Well, that's pretty much. It's primarily, I haven't read that book for 50 years. Haven't read it even since. But it's just basically a review. But once again, it was very preliminary. I've discovered things about this conspiracy that he didn't know, because he didn't know. It's just that he was early, one of the early writers in this field. In fact, probably led it for a while. But then people started doing the research like I've done and found new additional material. The Unseen Hand is still the classic. Bill Cooper used to comment that it was his encyclopedia. He had it on the shelf above him when he did his talk show. I just pulled a phone down, or where it was, something fell. My foot, I got tangled up in a cord. So he used the book The Unseen Hand and my second book, The New World Order, to read from, because it was pertinent to something he was discussing. So, yeah, I'm very pleased it's done well. Both of those two books are being sold in at least 20 foreign nations by publishers in that nation in their own language. And that startled me. I never, ever expected that to be the case. But it's all over Europe and in Latin America. People are reading The New World Order and The Unseen Hand in their language, and that's very startling to me. But if the first part is you are reading right now, I guess, it's all about government. And their people are reading about free enterprise and the right to private property and the marriage and how communism doesn't work. And that's probably the first time they've ever heard this. Indonesia got an order from them. I bet the Indonesians have never heard the proper, the interest in the free enterprise system and freedom. And I'm startled by that as well. Who knows what's going to happen with that?
Yes, that's very exciting that they're reading your work in their own languages now. 24 different foreign countries. That's quite a legacy, sir. That's awesome.
Well, that's staggering to me. I never expected that. Never anticipated it even.
I was struck by an analogy you made in your book, the Old West B movie, and to explain the difference between a demagogue, a democracy which turned into the mob, and a Republican attempt at government with the sheriff. You said, let me paraphrase it, that say someone comes into town and they are accused of murder, and they're in jail there for a shooting at the tavern, and then someone stands up on the table in the bar room and says, we got to go down there and hang this guy because that's, you know, he killed, you know, our friend. And so the people start to listen to this person, the demagogue, and then that turns into majority rule. The mob itself goes down to the jail, and then the sheriff himself stands out and cites the law and says, no, he's entitled to a trial by jury. And that struck me as a great way to try to explain the attempts, at least, at the various forms of government we have.
Well, we've seen, in fact, it was in the Wyatt movie about Wyatt Earp with Kevin Costner. At the end of the movie, there was a story about two cards are behind the deuce. Johnny behind the deuce. Young man asked about it. That little story illustrates the difference between a democracy and a republic. The democracy is the man standing on the table urging the people in the saloon who, the interloper came in and shot down their town hero who was just quietly minding his own business. They killed him, so they said they should lynch him. They go down the street. The question that happened in the Wyatt Earp movie, they all found torches, so they were come down at nighttime. It seems like they come down the street bearing torches, and I wonder where the torches come from. But anyway, the point is this. Kevin Costner, as Wyatt Earp, said, yeah, you, if you want this man, Johnny behind the deuce, you're going to go through me. He has the right to a trial. That's called a republic. That's the difference. We've seen it a dozen times in the Western movies, but it's not explained that way. When the people in the saloon voted, it's called a democracy, and the majority rules. but it doesn't rule because Kevin Costner's got the shotgun who's going to blow him away. If you come to get him, you're going to go through me. And then he points to one or two of the leaders of the mob, and they suddenly decide, no, he's right. And I would want the same thing. If he was protecting me in his jail when I shot somebody, I want to be protected. So that's an interesting little theory that I put in there, and people all over the globe are reading that story, and I'm hoping they understand.
Yes, sir. I hope so, too. The tyranny of the majority is what ends up happening with the democracy is what I have read, sir, that we end up with just once they realize that they can vote themselves more largesse, then the nation will eventually go bankrupt and lead to a dictatorship, or it will fall apart inevitably when you have the tyranny of the majority. In fact,
go ahead.
Yes,
sir. Now, let me ask you a question. How are minority rights handled in a democracy?
I would say they aren't, sir.
There's none.
Yeah.
The majority rules. This is the danger of a democracy, and we're seeing it today. There's voter fraud all over the country. And yesterday, or this morning, I watched a video from someone in Australia talking about it. This vote fraud thing is going all over the world. That's called a democracy. They vote, and the minority has no rights. We are in America are going through a stage where we don't have the right to free speech. You go on the internet and you're censored. They delete your comment. In fact, we just found out the FBI went to Zuckerberg, whoever it owns Facebook, and told him that he had to limit the Republican or the Trump messages and not show them. That's called censorship, and that's a democracy. They ruled, and they're the democracy. We have no rights. This is the problem. We don't want a democracy. We want a republic, a constitutional republic, which purpose is to limit government, not people.
Yes, sir. I agree. I had saw a bill that's going through, being pushed through now, would completely eliminate any free speech that someone with religious conviction would have who opposed homosexual marriage. Supposedly this would only protect the people who had been married under that order, but actually it goes after anyone who speaks out against it, that they can be sued and that their speech can be taken away from them, taken away on the net by the governance, but actually people come after them the same way that they've been coming after Mr. Fetzer, Jim Fetzer, and Alex Jones, people that say something that they don't like. It's like, I hear the break coming up, sir. Folks, we will be right back after the break.
I play checkers. I'm sick of checkers. I'm sick of pain.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
What have we learned from the recent election? I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system before cold and flu season. All of the polls before Tuesday's election predicted a huge red tidal wave, but what really happened was more like a red sun shower. What does this indicate? It could mean that the polls just aren't relevant or reliable anymore. It could mean that Republican voters took massive wins for granted and just didn't turn out to vote. Some will say it's more proof of fraud or a selection rather than an election. I think the results show that far too many people put party politics above their own best interest. Polls showed that the economy and inflation were the number one priority of voters, and polls also showed that voters believe Republicans are better at handling those issues. But voters have been told for years that Republicans are racist Nazis. So maybe many people just won't vote Republican despite believing Republican candidates represent their own best interest. After all, who could vote for Hitler just because milk got too expensive? Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hey!
Yeah. Oh, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Thought Crime Live on RBN. I'm Stephen Douglas Whitener, the host of Thought Crime Live, and I have Mr. Ralph Epperson as our guest this week, and I'm joined by Mr. Richard Carey, the host of Beyond the Official Narrative, Monday through Friday at noon Central on RBN. And Richard, would you like to ask Mr. Epperson a couple of things before we get to the callers?
Yes. Well, I mean, it is a lot of information secondhand of yours for me thus far. I will definitely make a point of reading your books, sir, but from William Cooper and others, his book, even I had a lot of, I suppose, secondhand information on related topics. The New World Order book you put out, for example, I suspect I've by this point heard a lot of these agendas and plans. And the first book, the Unseen Hand.
Yes.
Is it? Yes, sir. I mean, now this covers a lot of secret societies and Freemasonry, I suspect, as some of the content.
When I wrote the book, The Unseen Hand, there was no one talking about the Masons. No one. I went on a nationwide speaking tour with the book. I spoke in 91 cities in 31 states to paid audiences. I estimated over 10,000 people paid to hear me. I gave an illustrated slide lecture, and I introduced the subject of the Masonic Lodge. They're directly involved in the conspiracy running this nation, the Masonic Lodge. And, of course, they're secret. So I showed pictures and slides, and I explained what the symbols on the back of our dollar bill meant. No one was talking about that. Now everybody is. In other words, I introduced was the one that introduced the Masonic Lodge to at least some of the audience that came to hear me, and then they talked about it with others. But we are living under the New World Order right now. The New World Order on the back of our dollar bill is in the Latin phrase Novus, I'm sorry, Annuit Septis Novus Ordo Seclorum, Annuit announcing, or the announcement of, Septus or concept, the root for conception, announcing the birth of the Novus Ordo Seclorum, New World Order. No one was talking about that, and I explained that. Now, that means It's a baby. The New World Order is a baby. It's announcing the birth of. Our nation was committed to delivery of the New World Order sometime in the future. Our founding fathers knew when that was. It was the 1st of January, the year 2000. I sat here in my house. I'm single, and I was sitting here at the time of 1999, and I sat there expecting the New World Order to start at precisely midnight, or at least maybe even in the time zone, the one that the Gresham or whatever it's called, midline, or maybe a two away, and it didn't happen. And I do not know why, but I'm telling you, there, we are fulfilling this birth of, it's now an adult, and we're living under it. Why these things are happening are in support of the New World Order, which is a total new existence where each man will be determinant of his own morality. If he wants to kill, he's free to kill. If he wants to murder, he's free to murder. This is why people, young people today, are willing to burn buildings down or kill policemen, because in the New World Order, there'll be no policemen. You understand? And there's not going to be a family anymore. Now, you read the Communist Manifesto, you're going to find out that's exactly what Karl Marx wrote about in 1848. We're going to abolish private property. We're going to abolish the family. We're going to abolish nationalism. That's what this is all about. It's happening right now. Biden is delivering what the founding fathers wanted him to deliver over 200 years ago.
The only issue I have is that the amount of fear, of hopelessness that it's already a done deal is part of their success. I mean, these secret societies, it's important to understand them, but then you realize that even with a full republic instituted, even with our best candidates that are put in front of us, we can't change enough. The system's rigged. We see these corporations trying to shape things. But I know these secret societies exist behind the scenes. These smaller groups in these societies make these decisions, but then they try to have corporations carry out their will. Now on full display with these meetings, Bilderberg and World Economic Forum and all this. But it clearly is, there's a potential to try to break away and live in our own local societies and infrastructure. I mean, but that's definitely what Agenda 21, the New World Order, pushes against more than anything, sir. Is that not? I mean, trying to live outside their system locally.
Well, I just pointed out it's a whole new civilization. By the way, the Georgia Guidestones were placed there to tell us that we will someday, soon, live with 500 million people. That means 92% of the world's population has to die, and that's what this virus is all about. If you know who Bobby Kennedy Jr. is, if you've read his book, you'll read that this was a plan of...
We have the break, sir. We'll be... Sorry to interrupt you. We'll be right back after the bottom of the hour break, folks. Thank you, sir. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm sorry to have interrupted you, Mr. Epperson. I'm Stephen Whitener with Richard Carey. We have Mr. Ralph Epperson joining us, and you were saying before the break that you believe we're living right now in this new world order that you described and how it was put forth in the Communist Manifesto in 1848. At that time, it's right now, pretty much, sir. Yes, sir. Please continue.
That's correct. It's not there yet. That's why we have a chance. I'll say this, if we allow Biden to continue for 2 more years, I would dare say we won't have a nation. I'm serious. I'm not trying to make this too extreme. I'm serious. This country is in very serious trouble. And if we allow 2 more years of this fellow, we're in trouble. We might not even have a nation anymore. We might be in the world government then. I don't know. But there's not going to be no more government. That's the point. That's why these young people that are in the Black Lives Matter and the other group, that's why they are doing what they're doing. They've been taught there's no morale, there's no law, and that's what the New World Order is. No law. Each man decides for himself what's right. It's called, in our nation, it's called humanism. You can look it up. It's an official religion. They printed 3 manifestos, and they all talk about no government, no family, no religion, no morality. Each man will be free. This is what the New World Order is, and it's on the back of our dollar bill.
Yes, Richard?
Well, notice
I think he just fell out of his chair.
I've been exposed to a lot of this for a while, sir. I mean, are you one of those who subscribes to the U.S. having always been a corporation from the beginning, that it was never what we are told regarding a free republic for the people? or even for the landowners, for that matter. I mean, William Cooper seemed to think that, for the most part, it eroded later over time in this nation, accelerated, of course, with these executive orders, the abuse of these sort of powers and such, becoming worse and worse. He mentions the Trilateral Commission, the danger of all these, even the United Nations. I mean, all these organizations being very much a precursor to this world government. I mean, I'd gone through his book like when I was a teen, the early 90s. Let's see. I mean, I was born in like, what, 76. And my late teens, was like, I was already exposed to his work and even the protocols, which was significant when you look at the Jewish component, Jewish power in the world and the anti-white agenda. It wasn't really touched on by too many people back then, but you know, this. There are certainly a lot of aspects where we cannot focus all on one thing, and you know, I do think we need to work locally on trying to network and live simply outside of their plans. The fear of the depopulation, the one world government, digital currency, it's not all going to happen overnight. I really don't believe that. And they are trying to kill mostly white people with these shots because there's so much of other races, and that they seem to be very susceptible to the propaganda of this new world order, and very enamored, enticed by the shiny things and technology and the positions they get with their affirmative action appointees. So, I think we have to work in multiple. We have to still continue to try to take back the system to some extent. I don't expect it to happen, but we need to start working on living off of the grid. Local communities, I think, racial localism. Because we are being targeted first and foremost, our culture, our high trust society. They want to replace the demographic so it's more easily conducive to their New World Order dystopia, sir. Those are just thoughts.
Have you, any of you people or any of your listeners, watched Donald Trump speak to the United Nations in 2018? He had been president for about 18 months or whatever. It's close to 2 years. He spoke to the United Nations, and during the first half hour of that speech, he delivered his accomplishments. They're one after the other. I watched. In fact, I wrote them down because I wanted to use this in my podcast or wherever I do a talk show, because what he listed, he did more in 18 months than all the presidents from 1900 have done, totally. He did what he was supposed to do. He promised it. This is why they hate this man. This is why they've tried to get him out of office, and they're still doing it. They've designed this January 6th thing, and they're going to charge him. And Donald Trump says, I'm not going to pay attention. So I'm telling you, he's not through yet. He's going to be president again, and I believe it's going to be in about February of next year. There's some very important things starting right now. The new Congress already has announced they're going to investigate President Trump and Hunter, both to investigate, which means we're going to prosecute. We're going to charge them with heinous crimes and then prove it in court and then punish them. That means Biden and his son are going to go to jail. That's what's going to happen probably in January. Maybe it'll take a month to do it, but it's going to happen. So it's not over yet. We've got a champion who's going to try to stop this madness. This conspiracy is over 6,000 years old. I don't know whether Cooper ever found that, but I did a few years ago, and I'm now saying it. This thing is 6,000 years old, and I've got the documentation to prove it. I know what they're up to, I know why they're doing it, and I'm talking about it, I'm writing about it, making videos, I'm on a podcast now, half of a program once a week, and I lay this stuff out. It's now on the internet, you can watch it.
Yes, sir, how would we find that podcast, sir?
I'd be happy to, if you want to write it down, I would urge you to go there. The fellow's name is David Ruffino. And David has a program, it's called Delusion Resistance. So if you write, if you Google delusion resistance, you'll then go over to it's a screen, it's a site, and there's a little drawing of a man on a horse with a spear, you know, getting rid of the dragon or something, and then you just start scrolling down until you get to a blue square, and it's called Opposing the Matrix. That's his website. And you start scrolling down, and you'll see little Ralph Epperson on a podcast, meaning we're doing a Zoom, so it's me in half of the screen and him in the other half, and I'm talking about these issues right now.
Well, thank you, sir. I'll definitely will check that out. We have some callers piling up. Let's see, who's first will be? John in Tennessee. John, are you still there, sir?
I am. Can you hear me?
Howdy, John. Yes, you're coming in fine.
Thank you. Uncle have a quick... Ralph. Ralph is my
uncle. I think I know who this is.
Listen, I'm not going to take up a lot of time, but I want to tell you both, I appreciate you having Ralph on. You need to have him on once a month or once every... I've known Ralph nearly 20 years. I have learned so much from him. But I want to say this. Ralph, tell them two things. How are your books published? And how many have you sold? And then before you do that, I want to let them know that in the book, The New World Order, that I believe he wrote it in 1990... he actually said in that book that same-sex marriage would be legalized.
Yes.
So Ralph is a bit of a prophet, because when Obama made it possible for two men or two women to be married, Ralph already knew it was going to happen. I know that to a lot of people, when they hear the things that he has to say, sounds outrageous, especially if I have family members that were Freemasons. So I didn't want to hear it either. The lower-level Freemasons, Ralph, correct me if I'm wrong, are not aware of the intent and the attack of Freemasonry to destroy Christianity and all religion, whether or not that's true. But then tell them how many books you have sold, how many have been published, and how has that been done. And I'll listen on the phone if you don't mind.
I did it on my own. I'll tell you the story this way. There was a group in Tucson that I read about in the newspaper, and they were book publishers in Tucson, which means probably they're probably publishing books about cactuses and cowboys and whatever it is. So I thought I'd go to that meeting, and it was a dinner, and after we had dinner, then we got the president got up and talked. How many of you were here for the first time? And I raised my hand, and I was the last one to talk, and I said, I'm a self-publishing author. I've got a book out that I've worked on. I didn't want to talk about it because I didn't want them to think I'm crazy when they found out it was about conspiracies, because we don't write. So he said, tell me this, how many books have you sold? And I said, I've sold 50,000. He said, what? He said, you've sold 50,000 copies of your book, and you're here to find out how to sell books? We need to talk to you. He said, if we sell 10,000 copies of our book, that's a bestseller. So that guy could write a book about cactuses and sell 10,000 books. It's a bestseller. Ralph Epperson sold 50,000. It's probably well over 200,000. I've counted recently. I just sell them. My second book is also a big seller. Those two books, The Unseen Hand and The New World Order, are published in at least 20 foreign nations, as I've already said. The other two books are not. The other book is called Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity. I want you to know, let me go very slowly. I want you to know that at the 30th degree, on the way to the 32nd degree, each Mason who's in this ritual by himself, maybe three or four of them are going through it together, they take a sword in their hands, which means we will use violence to destroy Christianity. That is called, according to Albert Pike, who wrote the ritual, the true purpose of Masonry. This is the thing that they keep from the non illuminated Mason. So at the 30th degree, 14 of our presidents have gone through this ritual themselves with a sword in their hand, and they vowed to destroy Christianity. That's what the Masons are up to. And they were directly involved in the assassination of President Kennedy. Maybe we can talk about that on your station sometime. I will prove that. Prove it. Document it. I have it. You'll see it on my podcast. I think I've done one on that. And you'll see my evidence that they were directly involved in the assassination of John Kennedy. The Masons, the top layer of the Masonic Lodge, the 33rd degree, was directly involved in planning the Kennedy assassination. I don't know whether Cooper ever found that, but I found it years ago.
Thanks very much for the call, John. I appreciate that, and thank you, sir.
I am blessed. I am blessed to call Ralph a friend. And true, Ralph, just so you know, I am in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, as we speak.
Every time John and I talk, I've never met John, but I think you're right. It's probably been 20 years. We've talked a number of times, and I always start out by asking, where are you? Because he's covering a lot of states and different cities, and he's driving and stopping, or maybe he's busy loading or unloading, so we just talk. I've never met him, and I've often asked him to come to Arizona. I can't travel. He doesn't think he lives someplace in the East Coast. I won't. Rare, but I never come here, and I'm never going to go there, so we'll keep talking. Thank you, John, for calling in.
Yeah, thank you, sir. And we have next, Patricia in Florida. Patricia, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, thanks for
calling. My phone is almost out of use. I want to thank Ralph Emerson from the bottom of my heart for all the work he has done. I always thought someday I'd be able to thank him somehow, but I never knew how. And I am so grateful to hear him on the show. I hope he comes on often onto shows from RBN, because we really need his voice now. The people that have never heard. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can. Yeah, hardly, ma'am.
I'm on the last 2%. I've got it on the charger now, but oh, you influenced me. You were the first one. Your book was the first thing I read. I'm 75, and way back, I don't know when, other than the fact that when I was in college, I came across a book about, it was a 51-page, it was printed in 51, and it was about, all of a sudden I went blank, the Iron Mountain, the report from Iron Mountain. I read that in college because I worked in the library, and I came across that book, and I was so amazed. And then after that, I found your book, and that was the beginning of my lifelong education. And I can't thank you enough for everything you've done. It's hard not to cry.
Ma'am, I forgive me. I get comments like yours, and I think I know who you are as well. Maybe not.
Really?
I think you and I have talked on the phone recently. Please understand, I'm humbled by people who tell me this. I can give your listeners and the listeners a real quick story. I had a phone call, 2:30 in the morning. Hello? I'm half awake.
Oh, no.
Hello? Yes, are you Ralph Epperson? Yes, I am. We had a break? Can I go ahead? Okay, well, anyway, let me go ahead. There was a phone call from a woman. She says, I just got off the airplane. I went to visit my brother in Australia for 2 weeks on my vacation. I am the executive secretary for a Fortune 400 company. She said, my brother said, read that book. And so I didn't want to. I had no interest. I can't put it down. I finished it on the flight coming back from Australia back to San Francisco, where she lived. And I had to tell you, at 2:30 in the morning, you have changed my life. That happens all the time. And I'm staggered by that, because I never thought that would happen, even once. So I'm humbled by people who call me and thank me, and I do the very best I can to document everything I say.
Well, I'll be looking for your podcast. I just love it. It's like food, and you will have a special place in heaven, I'm positive. Thank you again.
Well, ma'am, I'm a Christian, and I don't want to get into that. I'm not embarrassed by it. It was just a story. My life, my walk with Jesus is a story in itself. And I talk about it whenever I have an opportunity, but I won't do it today. But anyway, please understand, I'm humbled by you, and I think I do know who you are because you and I have talked, and I urge you to go to this Delusion Resistance and watch those videos with Ralph Epperson and David Ruffino.
Okay, thank you. I will. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, Patricia. And we're skipping the last break, sir, to get to the callers. And next is Tony in Chicago. Tony, howdy, brother. How are you?
Tony, where are you?
Tony, are you there, sir?
Am I on?
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
oh, there it is. Gotcha. All right. Yeah, you know, you guys wrote this book about that. I think I've heard of them. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something. At this point in time, you know, the agenda and the enemy has been identified, okay? And, I mean, they're implementing their agenda. It's right in front of our faces. It's happening now. And, you know, unless there's some type of forceful move against these people, we're going to be living in this. Well, we won't be living in this because, you know, part of the agenda is exterminating the white race. I mean, it's right there. You just listen to the rabbis, and this is what this is. So we won't be living in it, okay? But I didn't quite realize you had a guest on with a book, but I just want to follow up a little bit, and this has to do with the New World Order. You know, on my last call on the last show, and it's this executive order that the governor of Texas signed, okay, and declaring an invasion of Texas. And let's face it, you know, the New World Order is all about open borders on Western nations. And the first thing, it's on RBN.
Oh, here, okay.
Oh, wait, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Right, yeah. Right, sorry, Tony, you cut out for a sec.
Yeah, Tony, it seems like I got disconnected from RBN on Skype. So I don't know if you were still going or if they heard or what. I'm sorry. Could you repeat some of that, Tony?
Oh no! I just wanted to follow up on the last call on the last show. Okay, and it does have to do with the New World Order because we know the New World Order is about 100%. You know, no borders, especially in white Western nations, which you know aren't white anymore. But the Texas governor declared an invasion. It's on the RBN site. Deploy the National Guard to safeguard our border, to repel and turn back immigrants trying to cross the border illegally. Okay, so what he's saying is he's actually saying that they're going to use the Texas Guard to apprehend these people and to repel them. Okay, so I'll just get to the point. I want to see this happen.
Okay, yeah, Tony, on the part you opened up with, Tony, you said, "Well, we know now who's doing this." And I actually have a text from one of our colleagues, William Rapillum, saying, the question is, how useful is the conversation without talking about the Jewish power? You know, now that we know how much that component is. But, Tony, I think that's part of what you were alluding to. Go ahead, sir.
Well, sir, like I said, it's all out there. We know the agenda. We know who's doing it. So,
Tony, please, let me explain. Tony, please understand. This is constitutional. This is in the Constitution. Each state has the authority if it's being infiltrated by non-military services. It has the power. Lake has already said the first thing she's going to do is use the Constitution to shut that border down. We'll build a wall and stop it. It's our job. It's our obligation to do this. This fentanyl stuff is coming across this border, and especially into Tucson and in Arizona, and she's going to stop it. By the way, the reason they counted 650,000 votes and suddenly after the election was over, the day was over, was because Carrie Lake, they counted it, and they had to have enough votes to surpass Kerry's lead over Miss Hobbs, whatever her name is, because she is the Secretary of State, and she was doing it, and one of her jobs was to be in charge of the election. That's called a conflict of interest, don't you think? So Kerry's in court with that right now.
They stole the election from her because she's going to do the same thing that Abbott did. Well, I just want to make my point here. Okay, look, it. He did it. Now, if he starts throwing them back, okay, then the feds may go down there and try to stop Texas Guard, and then we have a civil war. And that's my point. We know the agenda. We know who's behind it. You could talk about this till you're blue in the face. Unless there's some type of forceful physical move against this agenda and these people are implementing, we're going to be stuck with it. And that's my point. I want to see this happen. You got the governor saying he's going to repel them. Is the federal government going to go down there and stop them from doing that? And at that point, you have a civil war. And let's face it, that's what we need. I don't think the American people are up to it, especially the white American people. They're a bunch of cowards. But you are not going to get anywhere talking about this anymore. There has to be a forceful move against this, okay? And it's all set up right there, okay? And it needs to be state-sanctioned, okay? So that's the state of Texas. So I'll let you go.
Thanks for the call, Tony.
Okay.
Donald Trump, when he was in office, went to the government of Mexico, in Mexico City, and he visited with the president. He said, we want you to help us stop the illegals coming across the border. No, we're not going to do that. So he said, listen, how much money did we give you last year as foreign aid? Well, it's billions. How would you like us to cut that
off? We're almost out of time.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. We're running out of time. I won't be able to get to the last callers. I want to apologize to Patty and Stoney in Georgia. Thank you very much for joining us, sir. I mean, we need to continue this conversation more in the future. I agree. That's an honor to have you. And thank you, as always, Richard, for riding shotgun with me and keeping things on track. I apologize to the callers. We ran out of time. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no, we'll have to have more time for you, sir. Yeah, thank you. It was great to chat. We'll have to continue this.
Anytime I can be of assistance, anytime you want to call me, please do so.
All right, sir. Thanks very much. Thank you, RBN. Please contribute to RBN and keep this conversation going. And remember, a thought crime a day keeps tyranny at bay.
You that build the death planes, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks. I just want you to know I can see through your mask. Want you to know I can see through your mask.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.